Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. It's good to see you. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later today or in the week. The grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 414. Hymn 414, Come You Faithful, Raise the Strain. Call to prayer comes from Psalm 100. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Let us pray. Gracious God, shepherd of your people, and giver of life in all its fullness, we come before you in this Easter season with hearts that are glad. You are the one who calls us by name, who leads us beside still waters and restores our souls. In Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, you have shown us a love that does not abandon, a care that does not falter, and a life that even death cannot overcome. For your faithfulness, your mercy, and your unending goodness toward us, we give you our thanks. Living God, as we rejoice in your love, we confess how often we wander from your ways. We hear your voice, but do not always listen to what you have to say. You set before us the path that leads to life, yet thinking we know best, we choose to walk in paths of our own making. We are slow to love, reluctant to serve, and inattentive to the needs of our neighbours. Gracious God, you are our Maker and our Shepherd. Forgive us our sins. Free us from all that keeps us from being your people, and lead us once more in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Living God, as we enter your courts with praise, bless this time of worship. Quieten our hearts that we may know you are near. Open our minds that we may receive your truth. And shape our lives by your Spirit, that we may follow where Christ leads and bear witness to your redeeming grace. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Once again, a word of welcome. It's good to see some visitors with us today, and it's lovely to have you here in the church. Following the service, there'll be a further time of fellowship when there'll be tea and coffee and juice and biscuits, and I see there's a box of Quality Street over there as well. So if that tempts you to wait behind, please do so. It would be lovely to see you. Quality Street, they're my favourite, actually. So that's good. Now, the prayer group will also meet today in the McMichael Chapel following the service. If you would like us to pray for anyone, you can go into the McMichael Chapel, which is the room on your left as you go through these doors, and there are prayer tags, and you can write the name of the person that you would like the prayer team to pray for. And the prayer tag can either be attached to the prayer tree or put into a box that's in there in the chapel. And likewise, names can be submitted online through the Facebook and website. The gardening group will meet for the first time this session on Tuesday at 1:30. There'll be a time for discussion in the McMichael Chapel on Tuesday evening at 7:00. If you want to know what we're going to discuss, you'll have to come along. It promises to be interesting, not because I'm leading it, but because Jake is leading it. That's Tuesday at 7:00. All welcome. There'll be a service in Eccles Court on Wednesday at 2:00, and the craft group will meet on Thursday at 2:00. A reminder that we're having a Kayleigh in the parish halls on Saturday the 9th of May. We had a Kayleigh, I think it was in November, and it was a great night all together at Stirlingkirk's together, bringing people of all age groups, from the young to the old, together. A great night, and this will be another great night too, I'm sure. So that's the 9th of May, which is not that far away, and tickets are available from Callum, who's here today, and Callum will be around the tea or the coffee later on as well. But you can also email him or contact him by mobile phone. There's some spaces on the Bible reading rota for May and June, which is out there in the vestibule. So if you would like to read the scriptures on a Sunday, please do put your name against one of the Sundays there. And likewise, we're looking for volunteers to help serve the tea and the coffee after the service. If you're able to help, there's also a rota for that, and your help would be greatly appreciated. The fellowship after the service is very important, so I commend that to you. And I think these are all the notices for today. Hello, George. How are you? It's good to see you. I've missed you these last few weeks. Missed your dad as well, but it's good to have him back with us today. Jake, over to you.
Good morning. Like you said, it is very good to be back. I missed you all as well. And I'll bring greetings as well from the people at Logie, where I was last week up at Logie Kirk. So if any children would like to come forward, you're welcome to come up. And you'll see I have something in my hands here that could be kind of fun. So we'll see if it works. So I have with me this little microphone, and this is a microphone that Julie is familiar with because it's something that my kids got for Christmas a number of years ago, and rest assured, I did not get this for them for Christmas. It's a microphone that you can hook up to a stereo or a Bluetooth speaker, and it's like a mobile karaoke machine. You can take it anywhere. Maybe later with the Quality Street, we'll get some mobile karaoke going in here as well. But my favorite thing about this microphone is that it will change your voice. So can you hear me? Does it work? I wasn't sure I would work with the microphone here, but so it changes your voice. So that's one voice, and then it goes to this one. So we're going to do a little experiment to see if you can tell which one is my voice. All right?
Is this my voice? Is this my voice? No. Okay. How about this one? Is this my voice? No, not my voice.
How about this one? Is that my voice? Are you sure? All right, that's not my voice. Now how about this one? Is that my voice? No, I'd be singing baritone in the choir. All right.
And how about that one? Is that my voice?
Yes.
Yeah, so that one you can tell. That's my voice. So you know which voice is mine because you've heard my voice before. And granted, some of those voices were pretty ridiculous, so it's not too hard to pick out my voice. But because you can hear me speak, you've heard my voice before, so you know which one is mine. If Julia were to speak, you'd know, oh, that's her voice. If Gary were to speak, that's his voice. So today is a day called Good Shepherd Sunday, and I'll get into the reasons for that in the sermon. But it's a day that we remember Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And one of the things he tells us is that there are lots of other voices out there that call for our attention or call for us, but we can always know his voice because we've heard it before. We can know the voice of Jesus because when Jesus speaks to us, we recognize that voice. So some of those other voices out in the world try to speak to us and lead us the wrong way. So they might say,
you're just not good enough.
We know that's not Jesus' voice, right? Or they might say,
you just need more money. You need more money and then you'll be happy.
You can tell that's not Jesus' voice, right? Or let's see.
Nobody likes you. Should you listen to that voice?
No, you shouldn't listen to that voice, right?
Or at least you're not like those people over there.
That's a voice you shouldn't listen to either, right? So, let me get to the right one. That's not the right voice. Okay, so Jesus' voice doesn't tell you any of those things, but we know Jesus' voice because Jesus' voice is the one that tells you, you are loved. Right? Jesus' voice says, you are always welcome. And Jesus' voice says, I am always with you. So I went on today on Good Shepherd Sunday and all those other Sundays. I hope we can remember to sort out those voices that tell us the things we don't need to hear, but to always listen for the voice of Jesus. Because Jesus tells us, I call to you and you know my voice because you've heard it before. You know I'm the voice that says, I love you, I am with you, and I am always there with you. So always remember that Jesus' voice is that voice of love and forgiveness, and that he is always calling to you, okay? I'm going to keep this with me so you don't get tempted
during the service.
All right. So now thinking of the ways that Jesus does call us to follow him, we sing the hymn, 533, will you come and follow me? And I'm going to hold on to this. Thank you guys so much for coming up.
Our first reading today is taken from Psalm 23, and it can be found on page 463 of the New Old Testament section of the Pew Bible, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second reading is taken from John chapter 10, and it can be found in the New Testament section, verses 1 to 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen.
Sing together the hymn 462, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned during the all-age talk, today is a day in the church known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And to be clear, it's not an official feast day in the same way that Christmas and Easter are official feast days, or even, it's not even quite at the level of the feast of St. Joseph the Worker or the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. Those are both real things. You can look those up. But it is a day that's been observed in various forms of the church around the world for a very long time. Since 1970, on this day, the fourth Sunday of Easter, the lectionary, or the prescribed list of readings for the church, has had us reading portions of John in each consecutive year, portions of John 10 in the Gospel, where Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And then the psalm for this day, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is always Psalm 23, which famously states, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or if you're feeling particularly rebellious on certain years, you have the choice of choosing Psalm 100, which states, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So since 1970, this Sunday has been known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And before that, it was actually on the second Sunday of Easter for who knows how long. And going back even further than that, to at least the year 235 AD, the image of Christ as the Good Shepherd has been a prominent and central theme in the church. So on that note, I want to wish you all a very happy and blessed Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, having been a minister in the United States for quite some time before coming here, I had the opportunity to preach on Good Shepherd Sunday a lot of different times. And in the U.S., this is the point in the sermon where I and other preachers would typically go into some time explaining, you know, what a shepherd is and what a shepherd does to the congregation. And maybe we would even go into detail about the nature of sheep. But I'm finding myself today in a bit of a conundrum now that I live in a country where, of course, sheep actually outnumber the people. It's true. It's like 1.2 to 1, something like just barely. But so I find myself at a bit of a disadvantage because, you know, you all probably know a lot more about sheep than I do and shepherds than I do. In fact, I did want to do a bit of an experiment this morning. A number of years ago when I preached on this Sunday to my congregation, I asked the people in my congregation to raise their hand if they were a shepherd. Predictably, nobody in my congregation raised their hand. Then I asked them to raise their hand if they personally knew a shepherd or someone who raised sheep. Again, no hands. Then I asked if anyone had ever talked to a shepherd. No hands. And then finally, I gave them a way out and asked them to raise their hands if they had ever seen a shepherd or at least seen a picture of a shepherd. At that point, I got a few hands that came up. So for my own entertainment and strictly for comparison's sake, I wanted to do an experiment with you. I would like you to raise your hand if you are a shepherd or someone who keeps sheep. All right, so one. That's good. That's more. That's 100% more than I got in America. Okay, so now raise your hand if you personally know someone who is a shepherd or keeps sheep. That's what I expected, most of it. I've only been here a few months, and now I know a couple people that keep sheep. So for the rest of you who didn't get to raise your hand, raise your hand if you've ever seen a shepherd or a picture of a shepherd. There we go. That should be everyone. So it is, as I suspected, that you are all much more familiar with sheep and shepherds than anyone I have ever met in the United States. So when it comes to Good Shepherd Sunday, I would say pat yourselves on the back because you have a distinct advantage. You know, most people in the U.S., and I would argue most people in the modern world, are not terribly familiar with sheep and shepherds. Yet today, we read from John chapter 10, where Jesus describes his role with us in terms of a shepherd calling his sheep and as one who serves as the gate for those sheep. And then we read from Psalm 23, which is certainly the most well-known psalm and one of the most beloved passages in all of Scripture, and it is full of shepherding imagery. So even though, you know, most people outside of Scotland and maybe New Zealand don't know that much about sheep and shepherds, this image of God as our shepherd and Jesus as the Good Shepherd has endured in the community of faith as a central image for the person of Christ and for how God relates to God's people for so long. And I would say there's very good reason for this. It's endured not because of how much we as individuals know about sheep, but this image has endured because it's an image of hope and an image of peace. It's an image that gives us a vision of the character of God and an image that assures us of the protection and the providence that we all share as people of faith or as people of his pasture. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time this morning in that image, especially in Psalm 23, exploring that image in the way the psalm describes the Lord's relationship with us. And as I mentioned, this is a psalm that presents a vision of hope and a vision of peace. But if we take a closer look at the psalm, we realize it's not a terribly peaceful psalm in itself. And according to scholars, Psalm 23 is classified as a psalm of trust or a psalm of lament, which means that this was a psalm that was written and meant to be spoken and meant to be heard and read in times of dire crisis. And we certainly hear that reality come forth in the words of the psalmist, who writes, "Even were I to walk through the valley of deepest darkness," or as we likely learned it from the King James Version, "yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know, these are not words of someone who's sitting in an easy chair with a cold drink on their hand on a sunny afternoon, but rather these are the words of someone who is living in the midst of a time of great fear and uncertainty, a time when the path ahead is not clear, and a time when the road that they are on is not necessarily safe or certain. And going on, the psalmist writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather that the psalm said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my good friends and loved ones." That's a much more comforting image and a much more inviting table that I actually want to be at. But that's not the promise of this psalm. The psalm doesn't promise to keep us safe from those darkest valleys of life. And the psalm doesn't promise to keep us from walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And it doesn't promise that we'll always be surrounded by friends and loved ones and well-wishers. Instead, the promise of this psalm is that in the valley, during those darkest moments, during those most dangerous times, and during those most uncertain instances in our lives, and during the times that we are surrounded by enemies, those enemies of fear and greed and failure and anxiety and uncertainty, during all those times of trouble, the promise of the psalm is that God is with us. And that's where the hope lies in this psalm. That's where we find the peace. Not so much that we are kept from difficulty, but that even in times of dire crisis, times of lament, that we are not alone, but God is there walking with us. So that line in the psalm that says, "You know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." If I remember correctly, Gary pointed this out a few weeks ago. It might have been in a sermon or it might have been in a conversation we had. I'm not sure. But whether it was just to me or to all of you, I think it bears repeating that it's important to note that we do not remain in the shadow of death, but rather we walk through it. So God does not call us to set up camp in those dark valleys of fear and uncertainty and anxiety in our lives, but God promises to remain with us and even guide us as we walk through those valleys. The psalm goes on to say, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the rod and the staff were tools of a shepherd. So the rod was used to fend off wolves and other wild animals that were a danger to the sheep, and the staff was used to guide those sheep back to the path if they began to go astray. So again, this psalm is promising that in the midst of the trials and terrors of life, we're reminded that God not only guides us through those trials, but also protects us from those things that seek to cause us harm in this life. So we walk through that valley. We keep moving, protected and provided for by God. And this sense of movement, the sense of traveling, isn't limited to the darkest valleys, but there's really a sense of movement throughout this entire psalm. You know, we tend I think, to hear this psalm in terms of the still pastoral paintings and these images of sheep by the rivers and fields that have been made of it. But from the first line of this psalm to the last, there is motion. There's a constant movement in this psalm. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, there would be no need to make you stop and lie down if you weren't in motion. He leads me beside still waters. You're traveling. He guides me along right pathways. Again, movement. This is an active psalm, one that moves with us, I would say, as we make our way along the journeys and those pathways in our lives. And as that line, you guide me along right pathways. This word translated as pathways or paths in the psalm is an interesting one because in the rest of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word here is translated as tracks or entrenchments or ruts. And it's actually related to the word for a young cow. So rather than a serene path traveling by lochs and glens, the pathway that the psalmist is talking about are well-worn ox cart tracks through the Middle Eastern desert. So this is not a gentle path through the woods, but it's a well-worn ox cart track through the desert. You know, one commentator I read described these as righteous grooves and went on to say that walking with God is like finding your groove. And I love that translation or explanation because we all know what it feels like to be in the groove, right? And on the flip side, we all know what it feels like to be out of the groove. So the promise is that as God guides us on right pathways, he's not trailblazing or taking us through the wilderness of the unknown, but instead the image is that God is continually guiding us along well-worn paths. And there is certainly a comfort to that, isn't there? You know, any one of us who have gone hiking or gone for a long walk and has strayed from the path for some unknown reason, we know what a relief it is when we find ourselves back on well-worn paths again. Because you know that that path is going to lead somewhere. You know that path is going to take you somewhere to safety. And in the case of the psalm, this well-worn path is described as the path of righteousness, or the path of peace and stability. It's a path that leads to right relationship with creation, right relationship with one another, and right relationship with God. This means that as we walk this path, we're not only cared for and protected, but we are freed then to go and do the same for others. We're freed from the toil of seeking out our own path, or from the work of blazing our own trail, and then we're freed then to go and reach out to those who are in need, to care for the most vulnerable people in our lives and those people that we meet in the world as we travel on that path. Now, finally, in the psalm, we get that wonderful line, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is a beautiful line. And again, we get a little bit deeper if we look at the original language, because the Hebrew word for follow here is better translated as pursue. So again, even in this final image, it's not necessarily a peaceful word. In fact, this word is the same word that's used to describe the armies of Pharaoh pursuing Moses through the wilderness. And it's used elsewhere in the Psalms to describe how enemies pursue the writer. But here, that word is powerfully turned on its head to tell us that no longer are we pursued by our enemies, but instead it is the goodness and mercy of God that pursue us. It's God's goodness and love that unrelentingly chase us through our lives. So whether we're walking or running, whether we're firm and confident or drifting through faith and life, whether we're on the safe path or hiding in the bramble, surely the goodness and mercy of God are pursuing us. And because of that, not because of who we are, but because of who God is, we share in that final promise of the psalm that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, this psalm is classified as a psalm of lament. And it's called that because the writer knows just as well as we do, that there are times in our life that are not always easy. The writer knows that there are times when our relationships will fail. The writer knows that there are times when the news cycle will make us want to pull our hair out or just stay in bed a little longer. The psalmist knows that there are times when our leaders will fail us. There are times when our health falters, times when our hope wears thin. But it's a psalm of trust, because that no matter who we are or where our paths have led us or where our roads are leading, we have the promise of a God who is with us, a God who leads us in right pathways, providing for us and protecting us along the way. As that opening line of the psalm states, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That really sums it all up, because it's a statement of trust that no matter what we know or don't know about faith, no matter what we know or don't know about sheep and shepherds, with the Lord as our shepherd, we have everything we need. We shall not be in want. And just to close by turning to our gospel for just a moment, we see this psalm and this promise lived out powerfully in flesh and blood and reality in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who calls to us and we hear his voice, the one whose well-worn path led him to the cross and resurrection so that we might know true freedom and love in him. We see this in the Good Shepherd who came that we might have life and life abundantly. So as we walk through this life together, no matter where our path might lead, may we hold to the words of this psalm. May we stay in God's righteous groove and walk through the darkest valleys of this life, knowing that we are known and loved by a God who is the Good Shepherd, the one who lays his life down for the sheep so that we might have life and life to the full, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing together the hymn 461, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds."
Thank you.
our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Loving God, restorer of our souls, we come before you with praise and thanksgiving. You gather us into your fold and walk with us through green pastures and through the deepest valleys of life. In every season, you are present, calling us by name, gathering us as your people, and holding us in your loving care. Lord God, we thank you for your great love made known in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who knows his sheep and whose sheep know his voice. Through him you open the gate that leads to life, life that is not fleeting or fragile, but full and abundant and sustained by your grace. Gracious God, as we give thanks for the church throughout the world and for the church in Scotland, we thank you for this congregation of your people, for the fellowship we share, for quiet acts of kindness and the visible signs of your love among us. Help us, O God, to reach out to our community and to the wider world, and in so doing, may we witness to your goodness and mercy in word and deed. Loving God, we bring before you our prayers for the world and for one another. We pray for those who feel lost or abandoned, for those who struggle to hear your voice amid the noise, pressure, and demands of life. Call them gently, lead them safely, and assure them that they are known and loved. We pray for all who are walking through dark valleys, for the sick and the grieving, for the anxious and the weary. Restore their strength, O God. Renew their hope and grant them your peace. Lord God, we remember the nations of the world. Where there is conflict, injustice, and fear, stand as the gate that protects the vulnerable and raise up in our time leaders who will seek compassion, wisdom, and truth. So bless your world, O God, in these days. May peace come to prevail. And now, O God, we pray for ourselves. And our prayer is simple but heartfelt. It is that we may know you more clearly, that we may love you more dearly, and that we may follow you more faithfully, day by day. All these things we ask together with the silent prayers of our hearts, in the name and for the sake of that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Good Shepherd of our souls. Amen. Once again, a reminder of the invitation to tea, coffee, juice, biscuits, sweeties. Please do wait behind after the service if you can. It would be good to have a further time to chat with you. We bring the service to a close by singing to God's praise and glory that great hymn of Charles Wesley, Hymn 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Thank you. go out into the world in peace, listening for the voice of the Good Shepherd, who calls you by name and leads you into life. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.